Good morning, church. Okay. It's nice to see everybody and nice to know that, you know, God is really working in our lives. So what we have seen, like, during the sermons that we have preached or we have listened to, many breakthroughs have happened. Many people have come up and said, oh, this is what exactly that we have needed. So, we believe that even today, like even as we speak on family, freedom, and, you know, a lot of other things on freedom, there's a particular aspect that God is going to touch in our lives. And many times we may hear the voice, but we may feel ki it is not for me. It may be for somebody else. It may be just a coincidence. So let's just keep our hearts open to receive God's word. And ask God to help us understand it. So before we actually get into family and the freedom culture, we'll just pray. Father God, we want to thank you, and we believe, O Lord God, that every word that you speak, O Lord, is for us. And your word is like a two-edged sword, O Lord. It pierces our hearts and it helps us to understand, O Lord, your heart that you have for us, for our family, and how you want us to practice that freedom that you have given to us through the people that you have given to us, O Lord. We surrender this time into your hands, and we pray, O Lord, that you speak to us. Speak to us and help us, O Lord, to guide us, O Lord God, as to how to go about it, O Lord. Thank you, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So last few weeks, as I said earlier, we have learned or we have heard about freedom. So first was freedom in Christ. And the second was freedom as in, just last week, individual, right? So we are free, and now today we are going to do something on the family. All of us belong to one family or the other. Yes, we are all part of a family. Whether our family is coming to church or not coming to church is another, question. But in the family, okay, suppose if I were to ask you, in the family, do you think you are free or you experience freedom? Some are smiling, some are not smiling. Okay, what do you think? So, for example, if I asked a child or a teenager or a youth, are you free? Do you experience freedom in your family? Some may say no, because I'm not allowed to stay up late for so much time. So, I am not experiencing freedom, according to them. But according to the parents, we have given enough freedom. You can go and you can, enjoy yourself, but by 9 p.m. you should be home. Okay? Correct, no? Yes. So, freedom is very relative, apparently, right? We have freedom. Suppose if I were to ask a spouse, do you experience freedom? Everybody is like, do you think you are experiencing freedom? Again, very relative. Because if I ask a wife, do you experience freedom? The husband will say, of course she is, right? If I were to ask the husband, the wife would say, yes, he is experiencing freedom. But again, it is very relative. So, but today's freedom or today's topic on freedom is nothing to do with, like, you know, it's not a relative concept. It's a concept or it's a teaching on what the Bible tells us to be free according to the scriptures in the family. Right? So we may say that, oh, it's very relative. We may say that, okay, according to me, this is freedom. According to her, that is freedom. But actually, what does the Bible say about freedom? So long, what did we learn about freedom? What did we say? Christ has set us free, right? Then why are we not experiencing that freedom in the family? If Christ has set me free, if Christ has set my spouse free, if Christ has set my children free, then why are we not experiencing that freedom? Okay, because we feel, oh, okay, only if this happens, then there is freedom. Only if this happens, then there is freedom. But we are not thinking from a very eternal perspective, or we are not thinking from a spiritual perspective that, yes, I am free, but we are thinking about certain barriers that we are not allowed to do. Then we say that, oh, my freedom is very restricted. But actually, I'll come to that when it comes to freedom. Okay, so let's look at the biblical way that God says is freedom. Okay, it says in Philippians 2:1-8, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used in his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Okay, so now I have not underlined any word which says freedom here, right? There is nothing, no context here. But what do you actually see here? Jesus, if I say Jesus, was he a free man? No, yes. Did he experience freedom? Did he have the freedom? No, some are saying no. What do you think? Jesus was God's son. He could heal. He could restore. He had the power, right? But what about his power? Was he free? Was he not free? He was free. Yes. So, what we can see here is that Jesus had all the power. Okay, he could restore. In fact, people said that if you are the king of the Jews, or if you have done this, come out of the cross. Right? And they instigated it and said that, okay, you have done so many things, then do this, then do that. In fact, even the devil comes and says, make the stone into bread, because they knew that Jesus had so much of power. But he was not, so he knew that he was free to use that power, but he did not use that freedom at his own advantage. That is what I can underline, right? He did not use his freedom for his own advantage. But he said that, what does verse 6 says? Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, right? He said, I am free to do this, but I will serve. I am free to do this, but I will die on the cross for these people. I will sacrifice. I will restore. So he had the freedom, but he did not. So that means the definition of freedom, according to what we can derive is that freedom is the difference between doing what the rules say and knowing what it means. When we have freedom in Christ, we understand God. Means we understand what God wants me to do here in this particular thing, and then I exercise my freedom. For example, does God want me to take bribe here? No. Okay. God doesn't want me to cheat here. God doesn't want me to. Means I'm exercising my freedom in knowing that why God is telling me this. What God wants me to do here. Right? So knowing. So that is why it says that, having the same mindset as Christ Jesus, having the same mind as God. So if I know what God intends me to do with this power or with this responsibility, as a husband, what God wants me to do, how does he want me to exercise my responsibility? As a wife, how does he want me to exercise his this responsibility. As a child, how he wants me to behave. Then I will be free, number one. Number two, I will know how to, you know, exercise that freedom. Not to my own advantage, but to only bless the other person. So can you tell your neighbor, I am free to bless the other person? Yes. So we are free to bless the other person. According to Jesus, okay, according to Jesus, every person is enslaved to desires and behaviors that drive us to hurt each other and which destroys our relationship with God. So how do we conclude that? It says in John 8:31 to 36, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave. Can you tell your neighbor, everyone who sins is a slave? Yes. Everyone who sins is a slave. Today have we sinned? Yes. We may have said something to someone. We may have had thoughts, you know, which may be sinful. Or we may have done something. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family. But a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Yes. So we hear that, you know, Jesus says that every person is enslaved to the desires and behavior of, you know, that drives us to hurt each other. So in a family, do we hurt each other? That means that sin is there in us, which does not allow us to practice our freedom according to what God wants. So if I knew, again I go back, if I knew, if I had the mindset of Christ, I will know how to not be enslaved to the desires of my mind to hurt the other person. Not be enslaved to the desire of my mind to cheat the other person, right? So if I had the mindset of Christ, I will know how to practice my freedom as a spouse, as a child, as a parent, right? So yes, so when we read this, to experience and act in freedom, we need to be united in Christ and we need to have the same mindset as Christ. When we become like-minded with Jesus, there are a few changes or many changes that will take place in our hearts. So, what is the main, what is the element of a family? Who is the element of a family? It is me, right? I belong to a family. So, if there is a change in me, what will happen? There will be a change in others also, right? So that means if I have the like-mindedness of Christ, that means I will be able to influence my family, maybe in a right way, or maybe they will see the change and they say, okay, ye change hua hai, toh main bhi change ho jati hu. So there is that freedom to operate or function as a person, right? So therefore, the first thing, okay, that we need to do to be free, okay, in a family is to bring about an inner change. Can we tell our neighbor inner change? Okay, that second one is a little, you know, blurry, but it says submission. Okay, so as of now, I have taken two aspects. One is inner change and one is submission. So what is inner change? We listen to the Holy Spirit with regard to the decision in our family. We experience the freedom to operate in our family through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We take decisions by the Spirit of God and are not enslaved by the desire of the flesh to take hasty or random steps. That is the inner change. Means I want to take a decision. What will I do? Initially, what did I do when I didn't know the Lord? I would take a hasty decision, or I would take the decision according to what I feel, what I think. And then family is like a bandwagon. Follow what I say. Whatever I do, do that. So I am enslaved to sin, or I am enslaved to the desires of my heart, and I pull my family also to that slavery or that, you know, compulsion to do things. Whereas if I have an inner change or transformation in myself, where the Holy Spirit is leading me and guiding me, saying that, yes, today I need to do this. Today I need to go for work at this, and do this. I am driving my family also to believe. For example, many times we tell our children, don't use the phone so often. But the children, on the other hand, will say that, Are you are only using the phone so often. They look at us. Suppose if I was sitting with my Bible and they see me reading the Bible, praying, what will they see? There is a change in my parent. I am also going to read the Bible. I am also going to see what is going to. So many times we complain that our children are like this, or my spouse is like this, they are not spending time. But what is the change within me that drives them to, you know, experience that freedom? Is there an inner change in me? So last week we heard about the individual, you know, experiencing the freedom. We were once slaves, but Christ has set us free. The truth will set us free. So similarly, when I have changed, God will set my family free. God will set the tone of the family free. There will be a culture of freedom that you will see. So the world speaks about freedom in a very different way. When I asked you the question, are you free in your family? Many of us just gave a smirk and said, we don't know. Maybe because there were certain rules set. There were certain guidelines set. And we feel, no, I am not free. I am not free to do what I want to do. But whereas the world says this is freedom, but actually the Bible says this is freedom, inner change. And then I will talk about the submission part, okay? So, that is the inner change. So, many times we have heard, okay, this is true story. We have heard many parents coming and saying that, you know, to function as a healthy Christian, we need to experience the inner change. Many times we have heard family members saying, he and she or so-and-so comes to church, but they are so misbehaved at home. Is there an inner change? The family is looking at you. There is no change, okay? They spend the whole day reading the Bible, but they don't even help out with the household chores. So the person is doing a good job, but what is happening is there is no change that the family is looking at. There is nothing that we are practicing to say that, yes, I am free, and I need to experience that freedom in the family. So, if we are still enslaved by the desires of our flesh, and if there is no change, then we need to relook at ourselves. Because we cannot expect a change in my family and say that, okay, you people are wrong, you people are doing this, if I do not change myself, right? So the basic element of the family is me. Can you tell your neighbor, the basic element in my family is me? Yeah. So if I change, then my family will be, you know, I can set the tone of that freedom in my family. Then we come to submission, right? Just as Christ submitted to the Father, we read that, right? In Philippians, therefore, if you have any encouragement. So what did Jesus Christ do? He submitted to the Father. And then what did the Father do? He glorified him. Similarly, we submit to each other. Now, what do we mean by submission? Submission. I submitted my assignment. I submitted my project. Submission means? Completion, okay. What is your understanding of submission or submitted? Sorry? Giving oneself, right. Giving complete authority, right. Surrender, right. So, in Hebrews 5, 7 to 10, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Right? Submission, we have learned from this passage, okay, and also from the previous passage. For example, just to make the submission part more clear to us, what exactly the Bible means by submission is that, suppose if we were to ask a child, okay, so there is a playground, okay, but just outside the playground, so there's no fence and all, if there is a playground, and if we ask, and just outside the playground, there's a road where a lot of vehicles are going and coming and all that, okay? It could be a highway, it could be like the vehicles have. Now, in the playground, when we tell a child, go out and play, what do you think, what could be the instructions, what do you think the content of the instructions will be? Now, you know there is a highway, or there are roads, cars and all coming, and there is a playground. So, what will you tell your child? Generally, suppose if you say, okay, go out and play. So, set of instructions. Be careful, number one. Then, of what? Careful of what? Of strangers, okay. Vehicles. So, don't go outside this, okay. Though there is no fence, just play here only. Play where I can see you, I can watch you. And even if the ball goes or anything goes outside the playground, call me. Okay, I will go and get it. You don't go and get it. Do you think the child is free? The child thinks he's not free. But do you think the child is allowed to play? Allowed to go out, do whatever he wants, play with the mud, play with this, become dirty. Everything is allowed. But one thing is not allowed is for what reason? For his own safety, right? So many times, submit. So suppose if the child says, I will not obey, I will not submit to my parent, whatever he or she has said, I will not submit. Okay, remember, I will do whatever I feel like. I will go to the road also. And I will want to see which vehicle, which, you know. Do you think the child is submitting to the parent? No. Okay. But the submission part is for the child's own safety, right? So when we say submission here, what Jesus is trying to say is that submit to each other means so that you are safe. You know what you're doing. So when there is a boundary, okay, that means we are safe. We are free. But at the same time, it is for our own good. It is so that we do not get enslaved again to our desires and get hurt. So when we have people around us to protect us, right, we have the freedom. Suppose if there is no law, so laws, like for example, if there is no traffic signal, I'm free. I can drive the way I want to, right? But because there are laws, because there's a guiding rule, I know what I'm supposed to do. And therefore, I have the freedom to drive. But I have to submit to what the law says. So there is freedom, yes. But there is also a submission, which we have to do only for our safety. So in the family, if we have to submit to each other, means it's only for the safety of the family. It's to protect the family. And because a certain person has gone through it, they will say that, like for the father. Father has a lot of experiences, so the father will tell the child, okay, don't do this, be careful of the edges of the table. The mother will say, don't go to the kitchen, the fire is on. So we have told them, you can play or do whatever you want, but we have told them to submit to whatever instructions have been said. So clear with the submission part? So do you think even after being submissive, can we be free? Yes. A more explanation. Okay. So yes, so being submissive means it's just for our safety. So being in the very nature of God, Jesus submitted to the Father because he knew that this is what the Father desires. See, because eventually what did he do? In verse 10, can we, in verse 9 and 10, can we all read it together? And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Means, suppose, now again, the second part two of the example which I gave. Now, the child has grown a little more. Now, maybe he's a teenager or maybe he's a youngster. Now, can I tell him, ki now you be careful, don't go outside, the vehicles are coming. Can we say that? No. Now, the promotion has happened, right? Now, the child knows, is fully aware. So, that's what it says. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation. Means once we are perfected in Jesus Christ, then we can experience more of his freedom, more of his, way of looking at things in our family, right? So submission is equal to growing in perfection. Now, there is one more aspect to submission, okay? That is independent and interdependent. Do we know this two terminologies? Actually, there are three. What do you mean by dependent? Dependent. We say dependent visa. Yes. Relying on something. Right? Like we say an infant is dependent on his parents or the mother. Independent. Freedom. Okay. According to Mayuri, it's freedom. Independent. India is an independent country. Independent, right? What is interdependent? Depending on each other. Means there is nobody who is kind of saying, I am independent, I'll do whatever I want. I will come home whatever time I want. But there is an interdependency in each other. So, what do you think we prefer? Do we prefer independence or do we prefer interdependence? How many of you for interdependency? Most of us want to be interdependence. Means I submit to you, you submit to me. Correct? Exactly what the Bible says. Okay? The Bible also says that in the family, we have to be interdependent. See, I tried to kind of draw the diagram where the wife, submits to the husband. The husband submits or is, loving to the wife. And the children, are submitting. So even as the children grow older, then they all become interdependent. And who is in the center of all this? Christ. So we all submit. For example, if I want to go out, I will definitely tell my children and my spouse, right? I am going out. When my children have to go out, what will happen? They will tell both of us. So, we are interdependent. Okay. For example, finances. Okay. We say that, okay, one person holds the finances. You have to tell me what you need. I also need to tell that what am I doing with the finances. So, we are all interdependent. I have the freedom, okay, to go wherever I want, whatever I do. But in Jesus Christ, we have to be interdependent. I cannot be independent. That means I am totally off track. I don't know where I'm doing. Sometimes, we have heard parents say, I don't know where he is or where she is. Why is that? Why is that question mark? We are not. Whenever they call also, people do not know where you are. Your home is waiting, where you are, what time you will come. People are calling up and asking what time he'll come, where he is, I don't know. So interdependent here, Jesus is very clear. The Bible is very clear that we need to submit to each other. And it says in Ephesians 5:21-30, submit to one another. Does it say submit to one person? No. It says submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Whether you like it or not, it's a different thing. But at least if you revere God, revere Christ, you submit to one another. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives as just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Can you tell your neighbor, we are members of his body? So, now let me tell you this statement and let me know how does it sound. I am an independent, if you are a woman, you can say woman, I am an independent man. I can take my own decisions. I have my own way of doing things. I don't need to check with anyone. I can live, eat, sleep wherever I want. How does that sound? Hey, everybody laughing. But this is what we meant na, in the beginning when he said, I want to do what I want. How does it sound? Sounds very arrogant, na? It sounds very like selfish, very good. Selfish, self-centered. I want to do whatever I want. More than that, there is a danger in it also. Because nobody is accountable to each other. Nobody knows where you're going, what you're doing, how things are with you. Second, okay, now listen to this statement. Suppose if I today, or maybe somebody asks you for some money or something from your home, you'll say, let me check with my family, let me know their thoughts on this matter, and then I'll get back to you. How does this sound? Interdependence, because I already told. How does this sound? Accountable. So suppose in the outside world, so many times, no, I have made this statement at my workplace. If somebody has asked me, "Are you'll come out or what for coffee or something in the evening?" So I'll say that I'll check with my family. I'll see what is their schedule like, and I will get back to you. What will your colleague say? What will they say? Everybody laughing, my God. You are independent. Why? You're free, na? So much of, itna kya bondage. You are in the bondage. You don't know what you're doing. Why you have to tell your spouse where you're going? Why you have to tell your children what you're doing? Just be independent. Do whatever you feel like, right? But what does the Bible say? Contradictory. But then what? How did it sound? Let me check with them and I will get back to you. It sounds more like, okay, we are one unit. We have the freedom to go out, but we need to also check their availability. We need to check what is their plan. Suppose if there is somebody sick at home, so I can't go out, right? That doesn't mean I'm not free. I am free, but I have my own boundaries. Submission. Okay, because when I submit, I am able to exercise my freedom in more freedom, right? They know where I am. Accountability, right? So once we understand this interdependency, how do we live like a family that is saved and restored by Jesus Christ? And when people see this, that, oh yes, this family is saved. This family is gospel driven. This family is so united because eventually they also want that attention, that love, that kindness. But maybe people are not getting that attention and kindness. That is where they want to move out of the family. So when we say we submit to each other, we actually show God's love in our family. We show God's freedom dwelling in our family. Okay. But if we say we can do whatever we want, we show arrogance. We don't show. So we are actually again getting enslaved in the desires of our mind and heart and not experiencing the freedom of Christ. Now, how do we bring the culture of the gospel in our family? So there are three things the top three things that Galatians 5:13 and 13, actually the book of Galatians from the chapter 5 onwards, it says that how as free people we need to behave. So if you have time at home, you can go back to Galatians 5 and 6. You will come to know as to how as free people, as free members of Christ, we can experience and what do we need to do? If I am free, what I need to do? So I have taken this thing from Galatians 5. Serving others. So you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what does it say? Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Right? So what does it say? Love your neighbor as yourself. So who is my neighbor in my family? My family is my neighbor, right? My spouse or my children. So love them and serve them. Now, loving others. Okay, so how do I love them or how do I serve them? By loving them. In Galatians 6, 1 to 2, it says that, again, Galatians 6, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Right? So it says in loving others, how do I love others? I need to restore that person gently. But see to it that we also don't get caught up with that. Right? So last week we learned about Ananias and Sapphira. Where, Ananias and Sapphira, right? So where we went, where Peter asked that you give the money. But what did the wife say? No, no, this much only it is, right? So the husband died and the wife also died. Because what did they do? They did not gently restore the other person, right? She could have said that, no, what we are doing is wrong. But she also chose to support the husband. So, in a family, we generally do that. So, many times when we are discipling, the husband will say one thing and the wife will support. They want to kind of keep it in their this thing and not disclose it, because it will maybe people will think, oh, they will come to know that we are not perfect. But actually, we don't want perfect people. The Bible clearly says we are all sinned. So we are not exercising freedom in gently nudging the other person, saying, yes, let's ask for help. Let's get out of this slavery of, you know, sin that is cropping up in our family, right? So we generally do not want to disclose certain things because we feel we will be, you know, exposed to certain things. But actually God wants us to be out of that slavery of whatever is holding us back, right? He wants us as a family to be free. So love each other, but at the same time, tell them what you're doing is not right. See, we have all the freedom to tell our children what you're doing is not right. But what about each other? Because we feel compelled that, oh, no, no, the other person will feel bad. What if they go away? Or what if, but if we nudge each other and we love each other, I think we need to tell each other when some things go wrong. Otherwise, both will die. Now, the next is forgiving each other. Right? So we have the freedom to hold on to the grudges. Okay? We may have the freedom to say, I am not going to forgive you. But what does the Bible say? What does Galatians 6 again says? Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Means, if I have the opportunity and the ability to forgive, let me forgive. Let me do good to that person. Let me pray for that person. So what happens is, so many times there is a dispute in families, maybe because of certain reasons, right? So we can experience that freedom only by forgiving each other, only by saying that. So you can experience the joy and fulfillment in forgiving each other. If I were to ask you, give me one instance where you have forgiven, okay? One instance only. Maybe in your entire lifetime, you've forgiven many times to many people. Once you have forgiven, what was the experience like? I'm not saying you have gone and spoken to that person, but you have just released forgiveness. You have said, okay, God, it's between you and me. And maybe you have just told that person, it's okay, it's all right, you know, let go. How did you feel? Peace? Very good. Anything else? This was a huge burden which just, you know, was just, you know, what do you say? Just dissolved, right? There was a huge burden which just went away. And every time you look at that person, like you have forgiven that person and you know that, okay, yeah, God is the avenger or God will do. Or maybe you have actually come to good terms with that person. No, whatever it is. But forgiveness frees us. Okay, it relieves us from all the burden. So in the family, maybe between spouse, between children, now you've grown up children, maybe they are not listening or maybe they are listening. Maybe you have parents who are like, you know, older, now they want to do their own thing. So that time, we need to forgive them so that we experience freedom within our family. So this is what forgiving others means. So do not become wary in doing good. Continue to do good for them. Continue, because at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Can you tell your neighbor, I will not give up. I will forgive. Yes. So we will forgive if we forgive. You know what? These three are like, you know, the, as an architect person, if you ask the architect or the person who builds, an engineer, the cornerstone is very important, right? It builds the whole house. And it's something like that. The gospel. The gospel is serving, loving and forgiving. Jesus came to serve all of us. Jesus came to love all of us. And he forgave us. Similarly, in the family, if we experience the freedom, we have to love, serve and forgive. Now, I was just thinking that, you know, this though aspect we know. We know that if we have to be a gospel-cultured family, we are free, we know all this. But there is a third aspect or there is a third facet that I would like to bring to all of us is that freedom of choices. Can you tell your neighbor freedom of choices? Yeah. So in my family, there is a choice that I need to make. Now, what are the those things which I need to make choices in? I am free to make a choice. So I have A choice and I have a B choice. Like how I said before, I have an A choice to forgive. I have a B choice to not forgive and just be there, right? So freedom of choices in family is, in 1 Peter 2:16 to 17, it says, live as free people. Can you tell your neighbor, live as a free person? Huh. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Okay? Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Okay? Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Like it says, different hierarchy. First, show respect to everyone. Love the family of believers and fear God. Honor the emperor means honor the person who is in authority. So how do I have this freedom of choice? Number one, the freedom of choice is choices of words that I use in my family. Okay. Now, what do you mean by choices of words? I can choose to just say something and walk away. Like a nasty comment. Arey, aaj kya kapda pehna hai? Like, you know, I can just make a nasty comment and go away. Or I have my choices of words in my family, which frees us. Like, how do I bring freedom into my family where people will say that, okay, yeah, I can go to him for a suggestion or advice. What do you think I should wear? Okay. Choices of words also means that, you know, I choose my words wisely so that the other person is not hurt. And that brings a lot of freedom between each other where we feel free to communicate to each other. We feel free to know and understand. Maybe we discuss scripture and we'll say, "Arey, you don't know anything about the Bible." But have we chosen to say that, let's discuss what God is speaking to you. Let's discuss what God is speaking to me and we'll come together. So we have the choices of words which frees the other person to communicate to you. As a maybe as a husband, as a wife, as children, I need to choose my words wisely. I need to give the other person the freedom to come to me. Okay, then I have the choices of attitude. I have the freedom to walk away from any relationship. But the choice to stay and work is the attitude that matters. Right? I can walk away. I can say my parents don't understand me. When I become, I have heard these children saying many times, when I become 18 years old, I will go away from this house. Attitude. Okay, I want to walk away from my relationship, my freedom. I don't have freedom in this house. So I'm going to walk away. But when you actually walk away, you come to know, hey, that freedom was better than this. Okay, so many times our attitude, the choice of attitude, no, I am going to stay and work this out. Even in marriages, I don't want to walk away from a relationship because it doesn't work that way. But I am going to stay there, work it out, and say that, yes, Lord, I am going to experience my freedom here. Because that's what Jesus is hinting at, right? Then I have choices of my behavior. That is, I have the freedom to behave the way I want, but I choose to behave in a Christ-like manner. Okay, I choose to behave in a Christ-like manner in every situation. So, I'm not getting food on time. How do I behave in a Christ-like manner? It's okay, maybe she must have got busy or he must have got busy. So, the food has not come on time. And I give the person the freedom to, you know, rectify their behavior later or correct their behavior later. I give them the freedom to do that. In a relationship, I have the choice of my behavior. Also, many times we have seen, so in our church mostly we have families with varied backgrounds. Not both the spouses might know the Lord, or maybe both the spouses may know the Lord. Maybe the parents know the Lord and the children don't know, or maybe the children know the Lord. And so there is a kind of maybe the thought process is not balanced, or we are not thinking at the same page, or maybe they don't, people may not know the gospel so clearly. So there is a vague, you know, there is an imbalance. But when I say behavior, I take that person along with me. Although the behavior may be immature, or maybe not biblical because they may not know the Bible so well. So I take that person along in the family and say, God, help me to allow this behavior in a manner that this freedom that I experience, they also experience. Okay, get it? So when I say, come along with me. So they may not know the Lord. But when I behave, like inner change, as I said earlier, the inner change in me will enable the other person to also know the freedom of Christ, the way I behave. I take them along with me. I say, it's okay, I forgive you. We move on and we behave in a certain manner, right? So the behavior, the choice of behavior is again on me. In fact, the Bible also says that it doesn't matter, because the Bible says an unbelieving spouse is sanctified by their believing husband or spouse, right? So it is okay if we are not able to be balanced, but at the same time, we need to sanctify each other. We need to carry on with each other, right? We cannot leave the other person out. Then, the choices of my decision, like I said, no? One person decides and then the family follows like a bandwagon. So there is no freedom. So I have the freedom to make my own decisions, but the choice to submit matters, right? So there are these stories in the Bible where people have given choices to their family members and said, you decide what you want to do. And God has eventually blessed them, right? So in the story of Abraham, so Abraham said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. They're family. And if you go to see, Lot does not have a father. So Abraham is actually taking over like a father figure for him. Lot is a nephew for Abraham. So his decision, he says, okay, you decide. So we give them the choice of decision, but at the same time as submission, as I said, boundaries. We need to know what boundary we have. So although Abraham said, Lot, you go, you know, you take whatever you want, he kept a watch on him. Because when the Sodom and Gomorrah episode happened, Abraham was fully aware of what's happening. So it's not like, okay, I choose. Okay, you have decided, na? You go your way, you do whatever you feel like. No, I give them the choice of decisions, but at the same time, I give them the freedom to decide. But at the same time, I keep a watch. I give them, so choices of my decision. I have the freedom to take my own decision, but the choice to submit matters. In the other story that, again, the Bible speaks about, there are a lot of stories actually. There's one more story about Cornelius. Okay? Now, Cornelius was a centurion who did not belong to the Jewish household. Okay? It says in Acts 10:24. If you want, you can go home and read Acts 10. It's the whole story of Cornelius, how he came to know about the Lord and how Peter went into his house and all. But what does he say? The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together. The following day, he arrived, means Peter arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I'm only a man myself. Right? So Cornelius also, because of Cornelius, his whole household was saved. His whole household experienced the freedom from sin. Right? So one man, so that is what I said. The element is me, the basic element. My whole family can experience freedom. My whole family can experience the change. My whole family can experience the salvation. So just like Abraham took the decision, you decide, you do. And then we see that, you know, eventually Abraham also flourished because of his decision. So, in Corinthians 3, 16 to 17, it says, okay, in Cornelius 3, 16 to 17, it says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Right? So can we boldly proclaim that the Spirit of the Lord is there in our family? Can we say that? Yes? So maybe you are thinking, is the Spirit of the Lord really there in my family? We have to be confident. So today onwards, we will see the Spirit of the Lord working in each and every family. Okay, because the Spirit of the Lord brings transformation. The Spirit of the Lord brings freedom in operating, in, you know, serving, loving and forgiving others. Right? So how does freedom in my family look like? Okay, so can we think about these things? How does freedom in my family look like? Do I follow the worldly principles of freedom, or do I want to submit and be interdependent with each other and say, I want to follow this freedom, right? So remember that first the element is me. Can we say to our neighbor, the inner change? Yes. Second is submission. And third is choices. Right? So inner change, submission and choices. In Romans 14, 7 to 12, it says, for none of us lives for ourselves alone. And none of us dies for ourselves alone. We live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Correct? So the same God who saved me, saved my spouse also. The same God who saved me, saved my children also. So why do we judge them and say what you... So this is what the Lord is speaking to us today. Why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. So it says that, you know, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Now, how does this scripture portion relate to the freedom that I have in my family? Because I am also accountable to my family. Like whatever I do with my family, I am accountable for that also. If I treat them badly, I am accountable for that. If I treat them well, I am accountable to God for that. So if I want to, you know, function, if I want to give freedom to my family, I need to set some guidelines. I need to submit to the Lord first. I need to submit to the Lord first, rather than expecting them to submit to me or whatever I do. We need to be interdependent, right? We need to say, can we check with my family, right? So God will surely ask us for an account of the family that He has entrusted us with, whether we are a husband, wife, children, or parents. So in our family, we set the culture of freedom in the gospel and not outside the gospel, because the cross speaks into our family. Can we tell our neighbor, the cross of Jesus Christ speaks into our family? Yes. Okay, so that's what the freedom in our family will look like. Okay, the gospel will speak louder when we go out, when we speak to our colleagues or anybody. They will say, okay, you are very dependent on your family. But we say, no, we are not dependent. We are interdependent. So it's not only that X person is a boss, but we are all there to submit to each other. And that will set the tone, right, of freedom in everyone's family. They will also want to be a family which exercises freedom, but with being interdependent, submitting to each other, knowing what the Lord wants for our family, rather than, you know, doing things our way. Amen. So we'll just ask, I'll just ask